time to find out about the world of the web, and the man who's been surfing it for us is Steve McCabe. Hello there, Steve.
Good afternoon, Simon.
Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
This is a title and a half, The Visible Man. What's that website all about? Well, actually, that's your title for not the full title of it,
well,
is
no,
it?
Well, no, actually, that's the original title. Obviously, the title was obviously a bit of a pun on the whole invisible man idea. The full title these days is The Visible Human Project. It's more than just one website. It's actually a source of data that was put together quite some time ago by the American National Medical Library. And what this is probably not ideal to discuss, I realize, right around lunchtime, but it's a fantastic teaching tool and also of great interest to anyone who has curiosity about human anatomy, human medicine. It's a body that's been sliced and diced, quite literally, into 1 millimeter slices from head to toe, and that data has then been made available for anybody who wants it to present in any form they want for educational purposes. It's actually quite an amazing undertaking. And if, as I do, you have to teach human anatomy, human organ systems, it's an amazing way of actually visualizing them.
Does the website explain where the body came from?
No, it doesn't, actually. There's a lot of controversy behind this. There was actually a convicted murderer in Texas in the 1990s who donated his body to science for scientists to use after he was executed. And so once his execution had taken place, his body was then frozen and then sliced. And there's been all kinds of discussion after that about whether it's actually ethical to use prisoners' bodies in such a way. And so, given that that's now a fait accompli, and that the female body that was donated was actually a free woman whose body was donated by her husband after her death, there's a lot less controversy about that. I don't think they're ever going to use prisoners again, so they tend not to talk about it too much.
Okay. I understand that this website and the ability it gives people to really look in quite some detail at the human body has unearthed some, or allowed people to correct some long-standing mistakes about human anatomy.
Yeah, it turns out that, in particular, a couple of details, a couple of features of the male genitourinary tract, apparently, were in a number of anatomical textbooks for medical students in universities, were actually incorrect, and as a result of exploring this one particular male body, they've discovered that and also the shape of a pelvic muscle were in fact been taught wrongly for all these years.
That's incredible. Well, to think that could happen, the human anatomy has been studied for a long time now.
Well, do remember, a site that I mentioned last week, the I'm Rather Fond of Science site, did report just recently that a new ligament in the human knee has recently been discovered.
Okay, well,
It's astonishing what people think.
It is. This is now the next one, Steve, quite a different sort of genre of site, but it's about planes and how to control them, I guess.
Absolutely. We're kind of having a bit of a simulation theme this week. And I know that last week a passing mention of aeroplanes generated an awful lot of conversation on the show.
It certainly did.
So I thought I'd maybe mention one of my new favourite sites in passing this week. It's an air traffic control simulator. And this is going to sound horrendously dull and boring, but it's actually surprisingly engaging. Basically, the game, such as it is a map of the airspace around an airport. You can select which airport you want, Chicago O'Hare. You can select Kingsford Smith in Sydney or London Heathrow, and you're responsible for navigating the planes around it. And it starts off with maybe one or two planes on your radar, and you have to set it flying. Then other planes start entering your airspace. You have to navigate them. You have to juggle them around. And eventually, before you know it, you're negotiating a dozen, maybe 15, 20 planes, and you have to keep track of all of them. You have to make sure that they all stay separated in three dimensions in real time. And it's a surprising little exercise in mental agility and in paying very close attention to detail.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yes, and I guess it maybe gives you a slight insight into how taxing that job would actually be.
Well, I've only ever been on the other side of the equation as the pilot. I've never actually been the controller myself. I can't imagine how draining it must be. But if you actually want to hear people doing it for real, another site that's worth looking at is the Live ATC feed website, where you can actually listen to controllers doing their thing from many, many dozens of airports around the world. There'll be a link to that on the website, I understand, as well. So after you've discovered just how taxing it can be, listen to the pros who sound like it's utterly effortless.
Actually, listening to you describe that, Steve, it just brought to my mind some of those opening scenes from that film that was made some years ago, United 93.
Oh, yeah.
The British film director.
It was Paul Greengrass, wasn't
it? Paul Greengrass, and there was the early parts of that film dealt with the scenes that the air traffic controllers trying to figure out what the heck was going on with those planes. So, yeah, this I could imagine quite a number of people would actually be quite interested in checking the site out.
Oh, like I say, it's a lot more fun than simply saying, oh, it's an ATC simulation, would make it sound. It's actually quite surprisingly engaging.
Okay. Now, this last one, this is perhaps a sign of some of the skills and lessons that are no longer passed on from generation to generation about what used to be an everyday activity like gardening.
Absolutely, yes. Once you've spent your day vegging out in front of your computer, get outside and grow some veggies. and obviously, you have to get your computer out there somehow. So I found a great site. Actually, I have to be honest, my wife Debbie found this one for me and recommended it to me because she's been planning our winter garden on a site called growveg.com, which in some ways, it's a garden simulator. What it enables you to do is you tell it where you are, and it knows about New Zealand, astonishingly. A lot of American-based sites don't.
Yes.
It knows where we are. It knows which way around our seasons are. And it understands that we call Swiss chard silver beet, which is, again, for American-based sites, quite a novelty. But tell it what size you've got, tell you what you're planning to plant, and it will help you to schedule when to plant, when to harvest, how much spacing to give, and even what to plant next to make sure that your crop rotations are all nailed. It's a surprisingly useful site.
Well, there are a lot of people who are definitely into gardening and growing their own vegetables at home, definitely, no question about it. Oh. But it's not free, I understand.
No, this one is, I know usually we don't talk about the paid sites on this one. It's $25 a year, so it's not shockingly expensive. But for what you get, it's quite nice. Because one thing that we've discovered since we've been in New Zealand is that people don't ask you, are you growing anything this
year? Steve, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Steve McCabe.